And the next movie is The Bishop's Wife.
The Bishop's Wife, which this was from 1947, and this movie has Cary Grant and
David Niven.
David Niven and
Loretta Young.
Loretta Young.
And Monty Woolley.
And Monty Woolley again.
Yes.
And this was actually the first time I saw this movie was this year. I've never seen it. And I thought it has a little bit of a taste of It's a Wonderful Life to it. You know, with the angel that comes down and the guy who's so busy, he doesn't understand really what his purpose is. And that was always what sort of struck me about when I watched it.
But Cary was no Clarence. And Cary has the hots for Loretta. So, and this is a little trivia. The casting wanted David Niven to play the angel and Cary to be the pastor,
right,
the preacher. But Cary said nay. He wanted to be the angel, and Cary got his way.
Right. And the plot of the movie revolves around the fact that David Niven is a pastor, and he is trying to raise money to build a giant cathedral in his town. And Loretta is his wife, and she sort of wonders whether or not his goal of building this cathedral is really getting in the way of what he should be focusing on, and in particular Christmas time. And Cary Grant is the angel who comes down, similar to Clarence, to sort of help him figure out the focus of, you know, really what is important in his life.
So, yes, and Gladys Cooper plays this very wealthy woman who is, you know, she wants like her name on it, on the cathedral, and she has all these, you know, all these you must do's before you get the money, and he has to kiss her butt and do all these things. Mm-hmm. And in the meantime, Cary Grant's out having fun with Loretta. That hat, I got to say. Do you remember the hat?
I'm trying to remember the hat.
You love hats. I can't believe you don't remember that. It's like this spring hat, and Cary tells her to get it. And they end up ice skating with the nice cab driver. And, you know, Cary does all this magic, oofy doofy stuff. And of course, it's not them, you know, ice skating, but they're all like magically Sonia Henney. And they're just doing their ice skating thing. So, and a lot of it, you know, like when he did like miracle things, I hated the music. It bugged me. This is not my favorite Christmas movie. I remember my sister and I got it. Years and years ago, we were probably late teens, early 20s, and we got it from Blockbuster. Yes, we're old. And we watched it. And, you know, it has its really sweet and good moments. But, you know, I just, I don't know.
Yeah, it isn't quite up to snuff with some of the other major ones, but it's a fun movie to
and
watch.
It's worth a watch, definitely.
Yeah, and Ilsa Lanchester's good because she's sort of the maid who comes stumbling in when all these Cary Grant's doing all his magic.
Isn't it so cute? They both wear flowers, like the state secretary. Who? What is her name? I love this actress.
Hayden. Susan Hayden?
No, she was in, Sarah Hayden. Sarah Hayden.
Mm-hmm.
She plays.
She was in the other movie.
Shop Around the Corner.
Yeah. That's right. Shop Around the Corner.
And she plays Cary Grant, the secretary, and she's like stayed, whatever. And it's so cute when she and Elsa get caught peeking at Cary, and then they kind of walk away, and they're both wearing flowers in their hair now. They go into work. It's very cute.
And, it's a fun movie. It's worth seeing. But again, you know, it's not, you know, it may not be one of the big heavyweights, but it's a fun movie.
Yeah, definitely. I watch it every Christmas.
The next one is one I just saw again. This is another movie I saw for the first time this season.
Me and too. This is the first time I've ever seen it myself.
This is Three Godfathers, 1948. This has the stars John Wayne and Harry Carey Jr. and Pedro Armendariz. And this is a John Ford movie. Very stylized John Ford Western. I mean, you know, you don't even need to watch credits to know this is a John Ford movie. But it's a strange sort of movie. I mean, it's about three outlaws that are on the run from a posse, and they come across a dying woman. And they
also, who is she? Mildred Natwick. Mildred Natwick plays her. Yes.
And they help her deliver her baby. And then the mother passes away, and the three men vow to the woman that they take care of her baby. So now they're in this desert, parched desert, no water, and they're trying to take care of this baby while being chased by the posse.
Right.
It's a peculiar movie because there's a lot of biblical references, overt biblical references, and sort of you know, a little bit hidden throughout the entire movie.
And Harry Carey Jr. singing a lot of hymns, and
yeah. And apparently, I read somewhere that John Ford was a very, I think he was very Catholic, and that had a lot to do with the scripting of it. And it was also written, the whole play or the whole movie was a tribute to his close friend Harry Carey Sr., who had just died before this was made. So it was. And this was Harry Carey Jr.'s first starring role.
I liked him a lot. I actually liked him. I liked all the characters. I'm not a big John Wayne fan. I have to say, I really, the first time I saw it, I enjoyed the movie. I liked it very much.
Okay. I was okay with me. I don't know. I don't think I would call it a like, and I don't know I would call it a like very much. But it was a good movie.
I thought the acting was fine. The story was, you don't think it's a Christmas movie.
Ward Bond was good in it, I thought.
Yes, he was very good. He did a lot.
He was the sheriff on the posse after them.
Yes, and it all changed, and it's just a lot of sadness, and then a nice ending. Do you know that there was a Three Godfathers made in the 30s? Which ended totally different. I mean, John Wayne becomes this big hero when everybody's seeing him off and singing and crying. But in the 1930s version, Chester Morris plays the John Wayne part. Lewis Stone plays in it. And so does, what's his name? Walter Brennan. They're the Three Godfathers. And that's an interesting movie as well. I like that one too. But do I want to watch them at Christmas? It's not particularly. But if you catch them, I find them good.
It's, you know, and it was originally released in January of 1949, too. So I'm not sure it was intended to be a Christmas movie. But it occurs during Christmas because the Pedro character says at one point, he says, Feliz Navidad.
Yes.
So it is Christmas to that regard. But it's a good movie. You know, I'd recommend watching it.
Yeah, it's something that you're, oh, yikes.
Yeah. The next movie is actually a movie that you recommended to me, and that's Holiday Affair, 1949, with Janet Leigh and Robert Mitchum.
And Wendell Corey.
Wendell Corey, the ever second place Wendell Corey.
Yeah.
The premise of this movie was this is an interesting movie from the background perspective because it's an early Janet Leigh movie. I mean, she's
adorable. Old. Hubba she for is. Her. She's so cute.
Yeah, she's probably all of about 20 years old in this, in early 20s at least. I think she's 22.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then the casting of Robert Mitchum, the idea is Janet Leigh, and this is one of the, there's two areas where you see, there's been two sort of golden ages of Christmas movies, and one of them is immediately after World War II. And I think that, you know, with Wonderful Life, Bishop's Wife, I'll Be Seeing You, and then this movie, and I think a lot of them were because this was a time when people were still trying to sort of overcome all the bad things about the war. And one of the character that Janet Leigh plays is a single mother who lost her husband during the war.
In World War II, yep.
In World War II.
Timmy had never met his father, so that means he had died 7 years or 6 years before, because Timmy was just 6 and a half, I believe.
Right. And Wendell Corey is a lawyer who has the hots for Janet and is trying to convince her to marry him.
Yes, they've been hanging out for 2 years, and he totally loves Janet, wants the whole nine yards, take care of her, have his son, her son as his son, and be that way. But Janet is also, I don't really feel that way about you, you know.
Yeah.
Shouldn't he answer?
Yeah, it's another one of those sort of maybe you'll grow into loving me,
yes,
type of pitches, you know, which rarely works, I think, when you're asking somebody to marry them.
Well, but yeah.
And then the other character, the third leg in the love triangle, is Robert Mitchum, who plays a clerk in a store. And he's cast a little against type in here, very much against type.
Well, against type yet not, because he's sort of the dangerous guy. He doesn't have steady gig. You know, he's working from here to there to get to another job in California. So he is against type as a true tough guy, but he also plays, you know, he's not your average Joe. You know, he's sort of a dreamer. He's you know, more the, you know, kind of the rebel guy, you know?
Right. Right. And the one thing where the sort of the true Robert Mitchum comes out, there's a scene that I was reading about where he is kissing Janet Leigh goodbye and character goodbye. And I mean, he really plants one on her.
Well, she doesn't know. She's washing dishes, and all of a sudden, right, just goes up to her and starts smooching her big time.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not just a peck. I mean, it's, you know,
a long smoocheroo.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can actually see it in the movie. And they said this in this little blurb I was reading, that said you can see the look on her face is just like, wow, where did that come from?
Well, you know, she was very cute.
Well, Robert Mitchum was, well, Robert Mitchum.
Well, I just love him. I think he is just, you know, he's a hubba hubba guy for me. He's really cute. And I like him in this movie. And there's the son. I can't remember his real life name, but he is Timmy. And I have seen him on TCM. He was interviewed.
It's Gordon Geibert.
Geibert, yes. And I saw him on TCM last year. I think, you know, they had a little blurb where he talked about being in the Bishop's Wife. Not that. Yeah. I'm sorry. And the one. What's the one we're talking
about? Yeah,
Holiday Affair.
Holiday Affair.
Yeah, and he was in other movies as well. I've seen him in a couple more. I can't remember what they were. And I don't know that he really liked being a child actor, from what I gather. And he did talk a bit about Robert Mitchum and other things, but
his bio is pretty interesting, because he actually stopped acting, you know, pretty early on when he was like a teenager. And
so many of the child actors do, because they don't grow.
You know, and yeah, and so many of them have sad stories after that. But he went to UCLA and USC. He ended up at MIT, where he got a degree in architecture. He ended up being a professor at New York City College. And, you know, I mean, he had a pretty good life in academia outside of his early movie career.
Yeah, he didn't seem so gung-ho. I mean, it was interesting. I wish I could see that blurb again. Maybe I can find that on YouTube. But he was adorable in this movie. He was a very cute kid, and he got this Janet Leigh is a comparison shopper. So she just went in. Steve, who is Robert Mitchum, was working in the toy department, and she just came up, said, "Can you help me?" And she had the correct change, correct money, and he knew who she was, because the next day she came back and returned it. But Timmy opened it, and he thought it was for him. And But then she told him it wasn't. And I love how he closes the door and then you see the light go out. Oh, boo. And that's so cute. And but a lot happens and they meet Steve and Connie keep meeting up. And there's Wendell, you know, Mr. Steady. Yeah. And, you know, he all of a sudden sees, like during the Christmas dinner, yeah, they're making speeches and, you know, Connie had agreed to marry Wendell. And then, you know, he's saying how happy he is. He's being nice about Steve. He helped him out of a lot of things. And then Steve gets up. He wasn't going to do it. And he said, I don't think you could have a nicer guy than whatever his name and Wendell Corey's character. But Connie, I think you should marry me instead.
Yeah.
That was a good one. Oh, my.
Yeah. That was a good movie. I'd recommend that movie. I really would. I think that was a very, very good movie.
And I just felt, of course, for Wendell. I'm not spoiling it for anyone who sees it. But it's, you know, makes you think. But it's a very good movie. And I enjoy it. And I liked it a lot. Okay, the next one.
Next one is Trail of Robin Hood.
I've never seen it. Have you seen it?
I actually saw it. I saw it this week. This is you have a sense when you watch this that the producers of the Roy Rogers series of movies said, hey, Christmas movies are very hot here in 1950. Let's make a Christmas movie with Roy Rogers and we'll make a fortune. So it came out December 15th of 1950. Hmm. And the whole premise of the movie is that Roy is working for he's like the National Forest Ranger or something. Uh-huh. And he's helping out a rancher who is growing Christmas trees. Mm-hmm. And there's another big rancher who's growing Christmas trees, and he's the good guy is undercutting the bad guy's Christmas tree price, so he's going to try to steal all the Christmas trees. And it's sort of like, imagine the same thing they do when they have cattle, except this time it's Christmas trees.
Right. So hence the Robin Hood bit, right?
Yeah. But you know, I never understood where the Robin Hood came in.
Yeah, that's weird.
I think it was because the guy who was growing the Christmas trees was going to sell them for, you know, at a price where everybody could have a Christmas tree. And so that was the Robin Hood part of it, I guess.
Where he steals the trees is the Robin Hood to help the poor and take away from that big bad guy who's trying to rip off people or do that kind of thing. I've never seen the movie. I'm just speculating.
Yeah, I'm not sure where Robin Hood comes in.
Yeah, that's so weird.
I mean, you get the sense, you watch it, and, you know, they're all wearing winter clothes. You know, Roy Rogers has got like a winter jacket on, like a sort of a colorful blanket type of jacket. And, you know, every once in a while they sort of, you can see where they sort of superimposed snow onto the screen, so it looked like they're riding through snow. And there's a few, you know, a few wreaths on the doors here and there, and that's about it.
Yeah, well, I've never seen it, so I can't comment on it.
Yeah, so Roy Rogers and Trigger's good in it.
I love Trigger.
Yeah, so it's worth watching it for Trigger, and you know, if you want to see it, but it's not worth going out of your way for.
Okay, the next one I love. This is one of my absolutely – it could be my number one for many reasons. Scrooge, 1951. This is the best to me and to many, many, many. Some people who do not watch Black and White, they think George C. Scott's the best. But no, you've got to see this one. Alastair Sim is a wonderful actor. He was – basically known as a comedic actor. And if you've ever seen Stage Fright with Jane Wyman and Marlene Dietrich, he's in it playing Jane's father. And he was so charming. And, you know, I loved him. I could have married him right away. I could marry him right away if he met me today at that time. But in Scrooge, it's hard because I've seen the other Scrooges and there are caricatures. He was Scrooge. it scared me. First time I saw it was as a kid, and I know it was on like some channel, you know, because it was not like big cable stuff. And it scared me because the beginning opens and it's like scary, and you see the door and the ghost and the whole thing, you know, his partner. And he just is so wonderful in this, as are all the supporting characters, but he owns it. And he totally, totally makes you see that change and believe it. And his face becomes different. Everything becomes different. His walk becomes different. And he is just a wonderful actor, and he is Scrooge. And the reason I love this story is because I truly, truly believe that it is never, never too late to change. Never. Mm-hmm. You can change. You can become a better person. You can, no matter how old you are. People kind of get stuck in this whole thing where, you know, I'm too old to change. Like he even said, I can't change. But he was fabulous. I love it. And this is like, this is definitely my number one. And my brother and really? I, my brother who died this year, his favorite movies were, he loved It's a Wonderful Life and Scrooge. And we would watch Scrooge together when I went home for Christmas and he happened to be at my mom's. And we both love this one. And I think it is number one because I just find it so good, so true. And I think there are so many people who need to be visited by these ghosts. And maybe they would change. But I loved his acting. I just love the whole movie. And it is my favorite. It makes me cry. I love the ending. I love the whole thing. And he is incredible in this. Just incredible. Just little scenes. And you never saw it.
You're ahead of me because I have not seen it.
I sent it to you, you poop.
Yeah, well, I haven't seen it yet.
You watch Robin Hood.
I'd rather watch Trigger.
Oh, come on. Which one did you see? You saw the
19- I saw the 1936 one, which I forget the name of the guy that played played Scrooge, but he as I think I told you, he reminds me of somebody who he reminds me of like the local theater, you know, that puts the play on once a year.
It's not Reginald Scrooge. Not Reginald guy. You didn't see that one.
It's 1936 or 38. It's the one that has all the Lockharts in it.
Yeah, so that's the 38, and it's Reginald. 30. Danny Reginald. Yeah, Reginald. Oh, and one of these Reginald's, and he plays character roles, and he has a worst skull cap on that you could ever see. and
he just sort of plays it. He plays it to the back row a little bit.
It doesn't sell it that, because he already, like in the first one, like he's dancing and he's like, what, you know, he just, you don't see as you do in the 51 Scrooge, the guy actually working on it. This guy, just, you're right. He's playing to the back row. It's hammy, that horrible. And he's a young guy. He was a young guy at the time. And he played a lot. He was a character actor, and he played a lot in the skull cap. Actually, the trivia on this one was Lionel Barrymore played Scrooge on the radio, and they wanted him for this film. But he couldn't do it because of his back. And so he recommended Reginald Owen to do it.
That's interesting.
Did you like the movie?
Yeah, it was okay. I mean, it wasn't fantastic. It wasn't as good. The one I like the best is Mr. Magoo.
Well, I like Mr. Magoo too, but we're talking living, breathing actors, I got to say. Please watch 1951 for me sometime.
Yeah, I'm going to fit that into my schedule.
Because it's really good. It's really, really good. All right.
The next one's Holly and Ivy.
Never heard of it. Never seen it.
It's an English movie. It's regarding a family during World War II. I mean, that's all I got from the blurb on IMDb. I haven't seen it. Sorry.
Neither. So next.
Christmas Story. This is the
White Christmas. Number 18.
I'm sorry. White Christmas.
Yeah.
And then this is the big time musical that's built around Bing Crosby's White Christmas, Irving Berlin's White Christmas.
Right.
And this is a, and I enjoy this movie. It's a little bit of you know, it's very much a 50s musical extravaganza.
Rosemary Clooney, Bing Crosby, Danny Kaye,
and Vera Ellen.
Yeah.
Michael Curtiz is the director. You know, I think Rosemary's great in this. I think Vera Ellen's great. And Danny Kaye's another one of those actors that, you know, he can wear on you a little bit.
Yes. He's never been my guy. I can't actually name anything that I've seen or liked him in, to be honest. So, and I don't like musicals, so I really never watched the whole White Christmas, I have to be honest.
No, you should. It's a good movie. You know, again, I'm a big Rosemary Clooney fan. I think she has a beautiful voice.
Oh, my God, yes. When I was married, my ex-husband and I – okay, this is a little tidbit, you guys. And I know you probably don't care, but I tend to blab sometimes. My ex-husband and I we did proper dinners, you know, it would be candles, wine, low light. We didn't have kids. I had a stepdaughter whom I still adore to this day. And we would play Rosemary Clooney and, you know, different music during our thing. And Rosemary was one of our faves. She's wonderful. And I am going to watch this movie. But, you know, it's just that all the song stuff and Danny Kaye, But it's a very beloved Christmas movie, very, very much loved, and so many people watch it and love it.
You watch White Christmas, and I'll watch the 1951 Scrooge, and that way we both fill in those holes in our
Christmas
our portfolios
movies.
Here.
Yes.
Yeah.
Next flick.
We're No Angels, 1955. This is the movie with Bogey and Peter Ustinov and Aldo Ray. Mm-hmm. And I have not seen this movie.
I've seen it. It should, you know, it's kind of creepy. These three inmates escape from Devil's Island, and they come into this family's place, and they have a store, but they're going bankrupt, and they kind of stick around. First, they're threatening to the family, then they get to like the family, and they stick around to help the family, and then they decide, because they want to be better people, they go back to Devil's Island. So it's like a thief. I don't know what the other guy is. One, Aldo Ray, they don't come out and say it, but, you know, he flirts with the young daughter a lot who was in, a friend of mine has a major crush on her. He loves classic movies, and she has bangs. What's her name? She was in one of those Douglas Sirk movies with Jane Wyman and Rock. I can't think of it. But she plays
Gloria
the daughter.
Gloria Talbot?
Yes, yes. You got it. And she plays the daughter and Aldo Ray, you know, and they're trying to save her from him. And everything that says, well, that got you in trouble and that's why you're at Devil's Island. So I would assume he was a rapist. So, you know, that that's why he's in Devil Island, you know. So it's a weird movie. I don't find it Christmassy to me. I wouldn't watch it.
That's the question, is where does the Christmas come into this?
Well, because it's at Christmas time. So it's at Christmas time, but no, I don't really, you know, it's just not something that I'm, oh yeah, I got to see it.
Hmm.
I've seen it once and that was enough. But you know what? It's an interesting movie. And definitely, if you've not seen it, check it out. Because it's not something that you go fall asleep and snore. Yeah. It's an interesting movie.
See, my theory is that the Christmas sweet spot there from the end of World War II to White Christmas in 54 sort of ended. And when this guy was putting the book together, he needed something.
Yeah, right.
You know, 55 to, you know, because it starts to get slim pickings here. Because his next one is The Apartment, which is 1960. This is the, you know, this is a pretty well-known movie. I mean, I think it won an Oscar.
Shirley was nominated for Best Actress, but she lost to a tracheotomy. Elizabeth Taylor won for Battlefield 8. That's what she said. That was her quote.
Yeah.
And
she had that little scar there.
Yeah, Jack Lemmon. And
Fred McMurray.
Oh, yeah. He plays such a creep, and so many people were outraged at how creepy he was that Fred said he would never take another creep role. Because he was. Yeah. He was horrible in this movie. He was just such a sleazy, well, and it's sort of cheating guy.
I always think of Fred McMurray as My Three Sons, as sort of the nice, you know, sweet guy.
Yeah.
And when you see him in this role and then in Double Indemnity and stuff like that, it's hard to believe that, you know, it's the same guy.
But you got to give him props. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. And this is a Billy Wilder movie. Billy won for Best Director, won for Best Picture.
I love this movie.
Won for the writing. This falls in with me. I hate to say it, this is not a Christmas movie to me.
I watch it all year. So to me, it's not a Christmas movie either, because I watch this movie a lot. It's one of my go-to movies.
I think that it's a Christmas movie because, if I remember right, and I haven't seen it in decades, is there was a there's like a Christmas office Christmas party or something. It's part of the plot.
And then she tries to kill herself on Christmas Eve because of Fred McMurray's callous, horrible character. Yeah. And she finds out from his secretary that she used to be having an affair with him. And then she mentions all the women who worked there that once had affairs with Fred McMurray. And she sees she's not special. He uses the same lines, takes her to the same Chinese restaurant, takes her to whatever. And Jack Lemmon has a humongous crush on her. But finds out that she's the person that he lends the keys for Mr. Sheldrake to bang while whatever. So, but then, you know, it becomes different. She kills herself. He comes home and they all think he is the Lothario, but, you know, like the neighbors. But
Right.
But I like this movie, and I could see it as a Christmas movie because of that. And it has a lovely ending. And I like the movie. I just thought it was a really good movie. But it's not something that I go, oh, I got to watch for Christmas. But I just love it, period. I think it's a good movie.
The next one is The Lion in Winter, 1968. This has Peter O'Toole and Katharine Hepburn and Anthony Hopkins.
Never seen it.
I think I saw it many years ago and didn't care for it.
You know what? Yeah.
And I don't remember it, and I'm not sure what the tie-in with Christmas is even.
Yeah. Well, I guess because neither of us watched it. But if you think about it, I'm surprised if things aren't there. Belle, Book, and Candle was much more of a Christmas movie than We're No Angels, and that was about the same time then. And also, Period of Adjustment, which I actually like very much, was like 62. It was Jane Fonda, Anthony Franciosa, Robert Hutton, the tall boy. What's his name? James Hutton? The one who always, the cute, tall, skinny guy who died very young. Jim Hutton. He was in that. And I don't... Lois Nettles plays... I like her a lot. Hmm. She's a good actress.
I've seen that one.
It's good, and it is a Christmas movie.
Let me ask you this. Do you see The Thin Man as a Christmas movie?
No.
Because it takes place at Christmas. You know, there's a Christmas party there at the very beginning.
I love that. It's so funny.
There's a scene where William Powell's shooting the ornaments off the tree with his BB gun.
Yep.
So, and there's also the what I would really like to do. I would wish they had a colorized version of that, because I bet that dress that Myrna's wearing to the party, it's like a, you can tell it's like a red and white dress. That thing has to be an absolute knockout.
Yeah. But no, I do not. Do you consider a Christmas movie?
I think it's as much a Christmas movie as The Apartment or Lions in Winter. You could throw it in there. The movie I consider to be a Christmas movie that didn't make it is It Happened on Fifth Avenue.
Oh, my God. That's right. It didn't come on here. Yes. You saw it for the first time this year, and I rewatched.
Yeah, and I thought it was really great.
It was a really sweet movie, and it's about pretending identity. And I have to say, I love Anne Harding. She's one of my favorite pre-code actresses. She's fabulous, and she's in this. And I love her. And Charles Ruggles, he's in it. And I love their storyline. I thought the guy was a riot, McKeever. It's basically about this guy who every year and his dog, they winter in New York City at this millionaire's house. And then when he comes back, they go to his other house in another area where it's warm. So it's a very, and he just invites people to come live with him. And then there's more people who come live with him. And it's just a very, it's a nice
Victor,
movie.
Victor Moore is the,
Victor Moore. That's right.
The, is playing the,
McKeever.
The McKeever.
Yes.
Right.
And it was sweet. And, I really liked it, and it taught the really rich man, Charles Ruggles, who for his daughter, Trudy, I love that name, Trudy's sake, what's her name in real life, that girl, that lady?
It's Gail Storm.
Gail Storm, yeah. So
she
Trudy.
Had a long career.
And the other guy, the main, the one who's in love with Trudy, what's his, I just saw him in like a film noir.
Don DeFore.
Don DeFore. And he was also in one movie with John Wayne.
You know what I remember him as?
What?
Is the father and husband in the Hazel.
I've never seen
TV
Hazel.
Show. Yeah, when, in their 60s. I remember seeing him as a kid on reruns. He was like the, he was the husband, father in
the, but I did read, I do know the trivia, because I love Meredith Baxter Burney, and her mom was the mom in Hazel.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yes. So we digress. But
we
okay. So now we're getting into movies.
And so this is, yeah, it went to, you know, after 68, the next one that the Turner lists in their book is 1983, A Christmas Story.
Which I love.
Which is one of my all-time favorites. It was written by Gene Shepard, is based on his book, and he's the narrator in it.
It is so funny and clever and adorable. I love this movie.
And it's able to be a little nostalgic without being sappy.
No, it's so funny, and the observations of Ralphie. I mean, I just love the whole thing. The father and that stupid lamp, the mother, you'll shoot your eye out. All he wanted. It's
well,
an adorable movie.
And the thing is when you watch it, I've read reviews and, you know, from viewers that'll say, well, you know, all the characters are over the top. You know, Darren McGavin, who actually was a pretty successful actor in the 60s and 70s, you know, who played the father, you know, they say, well, you know, the adults don't act like that. But you have to realize you're looking at adults through the eyes of a 10-year-old.
Right.
So everybody is acting. This is how a 10-year-old sees, you know, the father is, you know, just sort of a string of incoherent expletives.
But I thought he was great. I thought he was really good in the role. Yeah. And I did too.
I thought he was excellent. I thought the actress, what was her name?
I can't think of her. Melanie?
Melinda Dillon.
Yes.
Dillon. She was who played the mother. I thought she did an excellent job. And she had that sort of that frazzled look about her.
Yeah, but nice mom. And also,
yeah,
I loved Ralphie. I had a cat named Ralphie. He was the love of my kitty cat. He was like a dog. He was so smart and loving, and he was my pal. Got me through so much stuff. And so I just love the name Ralphie, and he is so adorable. What's his name? Peter Billingsley?
Peter Billingsley.
He was adorable and so good. And the whole thing. I just love that movie. Really great movie.
Yeah, it is a good movie. And then this next is, and this is the starts what I would consider to be the second golden era of Christmas movies, and that's the that starts in the middle of the 80s and runs through early 90s. The next one is Gremlins, which I never saw.
Neither did I.
it's supposed to be pretty good.
Yeah.
The next is Die Hard, which is always the age-old question, is this a Christmas movie?
You know, just because it's based on Christmas, but there's bombs and explosives and horrible murders and
death. Yeah, it's hard to
say,
you know, a Christmas movie is something, you know, you're happy because, you know, all the bad guys get killed.
I guess, but it's just, you know, it's not my cup of tea.
Yeah, it's not what I would consider. I'm looking at the thing. Gremlins actually had Phoebe Cates in it. I didn't realize that. Phoebe was sort of a hottie in the
movies. All the boys loved Phoebe.
Yeah.
Yes.
The next is National Lampoon's Christmas, 1989.
I've never seen
Chevy
it.
Chevy Chase. It's a classic. Yeah, it fits in there. You know, it's over the top. You know, Chevy Chase, typical, you know, wiring the entire house with lights and blowing out the neighborhood and all the typical things. It's a very, you know, it is what it is. Home Alone is the next one. That's 1990.
Never seen
and
that.
That's, I saw it. It's very good. Very Christmas movie because it's about a kid that gets left at home when his family goes to Europe, I think,
Macaulay
for
Culkin.
Christmas. And yeah, and the bad guys are after him. Very, you know, sort of a cartoonish type of movie, but very good. Mm-hmm. And then see here as we go through the list, the Nightmare Before Christmas, 1993. I missed that one.
Tim Burton directed it. I've never seen it either, and I know I can, but I just haven't chosen. 28 is Little Women, 1994. I've never seen that. I just don't
never
like
seen that version.
Yeah, I don't like Winona Ryder. I don't like Susan Sarandon. The girl that played Beth lived in my building when I was married. She's a doll. And she was also played when Bette Midler played Stella, which was a remake of Stella Dallas, you know. And she played the daughter. She lived in my building. She was a lovely woman. And she quit acting and she had kids. Okay, so next, 29 is Elf.
Elf, you know, again, that's the what's the name of the guy? That
the Saturday Night Live guy.
Yeah, I drew a blank on that.
Will Ferrell.
Will Ferrell.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and it's a cute enough movie. I remember watching that with my when my kids were young, and they enjoyed it because, you know, it's sort of he's a 6 and Will Ferrell really is like 6'4".
Yeah, he's a big boy.
Yeah, and he's an elf, or he's the son of an elf. Mm-hmm. So and it's a cute movie.
Ed Asner's in that as well.
Right.
And I got engaged to him on my other podcast. And he never sent me a ring. I'm going to get him for alienation of affection. What happened, Ed?
Yeah, well, it's a breach of promise.
Breach of promise.
You know, a lot of these movies, that's one of the big things is breach of promise.
Like, how mean can you be? Movies. I love you, Ed. You have cute toes still. Okay. And the last one on the list is Love Actually. Have you seen it?
No, I haven't. That's a Hugh Grant, Martina.
So many
McCutcheon,
people. It's based
on Neeson.
The guy from Walking Dead. I love The Walking Dead, but I'm sad I don't watch it anymore. The Rick. What's his name? I can't think of his name. And also that really nice actress. She's very British. What the heck is her name? Emma Thompson, isn't it, as well?
Emma Thompson, is that it?
Yeah, so I've heard only good things about it. And my friend, who loves classic movies and everything, sent me Love Actually. And I haven't watched it yet, but it's on Netflix. And I'm going to make myself watch it because I heard
it's got an IMDb rating of 7.6.
Yeah, I heard it's a fabulous movie. And I will finally watch it. I've got to do that. That's on my must-watch list. I can't think of any others that... But I am surprised that they did not have, you know, it's so funny, Miracle on Main Street, but they don't have the one on Fifth Avenue.
Yeah, like I said, it's. I think they tried to spread them out across genres and across time periods. And when you look at it, really, they're all, not all of them, but the best ones seem to be concentrated in that period from the end of World War II, 1945 through 54, I'd say.
Well,
and then
I think,
you had another shot at it in the 80s.
Look at 40, Remember the Night, The Shop Around the Quarter, Beyond Tomorrow, The Man Who Came to Dinner, 42, Holiday Inn, 42, I'll Be Seeing You, 44, then Christmas in Connecticut came 45, which was the guy. So, but, you know, there's so many, all I can say is that they are all good movies, and whatever your type is, and I'm sure many of you have seen these films, and they're just nice. And I love Christmas movies, and sometimes I watch them when it's not Christmas, because sometimes I just want to feel good and see something that's not ugly. Well, that's why I watch TCM, because I don't want to see things that are ugly, or, you know, I just want something nice. And these movies are nice. And just to make you feel good. And that's what's important. They give you this nice feeling. And like I said, happy to everyone.
Right. I forgot to mention to you that when you were talking about The Scrooge, the one you like in 1951.
Yeah.
I saw an article on USA Today where it was an article from several years ago. I think back in like a 2012, something like that, with Robert Osborne. Mm-hmm. And he said that the Alistair Sims and Scrooge, that was his favorite Christmas movie.
Anyone who's a film connoisseur would find that too, because his acting, just scenes I can pick out, like when he reforms and he is so creepy to his nephew, but when he goes back, he finds out that his beloved sister Fan, she died at childbirth, but so did Scrooge's mom died at childbirth, so the father treated him creepily. The only thing I don't like about 51 Scrooge is the young Scrooge is probably about 5'10", and when he becomes an old man, Alistair Sims is about 6'2". So couldn't you at least get matching heights? He's fully an adult.
He's going the wrong way.
Right. You know, come on, guys. Mm. That's the only thing. I didn't like the young Scrooge, and I hated that he was so much shorter than Alistair Sims. But I noticed that some people don't care. I notice those things. But, you know, they're wonderful. And the basic thing about Christmas movies is that there's some sense of getting some sense of peace and sort of reflection on your own life and people you love, and just kind of niceness that a lot of stuff lacks these days, a lot of movies, a lot of things. And so it's always, to me, a pleasure to go back and watch these wonderful movies and just chill, baby, chill. Hey, are you having your bourbon? I am having holiday cheer. I'm drinking.
I'm sipping on it. I'm sipping on a Woodford Reserve right now, even as we speak.
Because it's so funny. We were going to do a holiday cheer movie. This is holiday cheer, and we're talking about these things. And, you know, he and I know a lot of stuff about movies. We go about behind the scenes and things like that. We're not being critical. It's just we're just announcing certain films and what they had in the book and other ones that I was surprised were missing, like, you know, what's it? You have Miracle on Fifth Avenue. What's the name of that movie?
It happened on Fifth Avenue.
Yeah. And Period of Adjustment, it should have been there. And I think Bell Book and Candle. All this stuff happens on Christmas Eve. And it's a really nice movie. So I don't get it. And they don't have it this year.
I think part of it is that you know, anytime you watch movies and you start to enjoy movies, everybody has their own opinion of what they like and don't like.
Yeah.
And so you're never going to have people who are going to all agree that this movie is the best one or this movie isn't, you know. And that's one of the things you just sort of have to agree. Everyone has different tastes.
Of course. That's why I say watch, because each of these movies I've seen, they're not bad movies. They're good movies, but they're not necessarily my favorites, but everybody has their favorites. And I just, you know, I do have mine. And you do have yours. And it's just the season to be jolly. And it's a season to watch Christmas movies. And it's a season to watch TCM. And just, you know, I'm thankful. It's not like Thanksgiving. I'm thankful for so many things. I've had a wonderful year, even though I've had adversity, as we all do, you know, but we're still standing. And, you know, that's the good part, kids. So I think we've done pretty good there. I'm going to make this into two parts, everybody, because we're going an hour and 40. So I'm going to cut this in half so that we can, you know, make it easier. Like you said, one of your recommendations to me was make a shorter podcast.
Yeah, I always listen. When I listen to them, I like them to be, you know, about 45 minutes or so.
So, yeah, I'm going to cut it in. So it'll be great. So everybody, and I want to thank Steve Powell, my dear friend, and Mr., you know, he is a K. Francis historian, and other things. Hey, do I still say, and he also thinks I sound short. We have never met. We are friends via social media for our love of classic movies. You came on my Facebook page, right? I met you from my Facebook page.
Yeah, I met you through Facebook.
Yeah, and our mutual love of Kay. Yes.
Right.
And Toby Wing.
Toby. And I see that's the advantage of that's a true sign of a friendship is that you've introduced me to a ton of movies, and I introduced you into Toby Wing and some other great theatrical characters.
Yes. Yeah, so what a year it's been. And thank you, my friend. And I want to thank you wonderful people who listen to this podcast. And got some great guests coming up in 2019. Very excited. I've told you about some of them. They're going to be really fun. And I've loved everyone I've talked to. It's just such a pleasure and gift for me to have this podcast and to be able to talk about something I truly love, and I truly love classic films. So thank you, Steve, for coming on again. You're wonderful.
Thank you for having me, and I always enjoy it, Grace. And you have an awesome Christmas and Happy New Year.
Yes, and to everybody out there, thanks for listening.
God bless us one and all.
Exactly. And you see, you really have had a wonderful life when we really think about it. And I want to just say happy, whatever you are. Merry Christmas, Feliz Navidad, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa, Happy whatever. And if you're nothing, happy. Just happy, and happy especially 2019 to everybody. Happy, healthy, and be back soon. So thank you, everybody. Happy holidays. And thanks, Steve.
Bye-bye.
Bye, all. Thank you.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the happiest season of all. With those holiday greetings and gay happy meetings when friends come to call. It's the happiest season of all. There'll be parties for hosting, marshmallows for toasting, and caroling out in the snow. There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time. Yes, the most wonderful time. Oh, the most wonderful time.